Hey, y'all. yay. Cool. So y'all have heard about, obviously, Hurricane Harvey and everything going on, right? How many in here who have family who have been affected or know someone who's been affected by that? Wow. Cool. Not cool, but cool. Jeremy, will you come up, please? This is Jeremy Green. He's one of our students here. He's just going to share a little bit about what's going on with his family down there.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. Right now, a lot of families are going to my high school because a lot of their houses have been flooded up to their chest, over their house. Houses completely torn away. And then... personally in my house, everything is gone. There's nothing left but two trash bags.
We're gonna pray for Jeremy, and also all the people up there. If we could have Coach Sage, Coach McHugh, whoever, just come up and pray for Jeremy. And the rest of you, just you can pray quietly or however you want to. Father, right now we just lift up Houston and Louisiana and anywhere that's been affected by Hurricane Harvey. And I pray right now for Jeremy's family and friends and those near and dear to his heart that you will just be with them and know that you will still continue to walk with him through the storm. And I also just pray, Lord, that this will stop. There's been many students here who have family and friends who are encountering all this, and I pray that the storm will stop and they will still be able to see you at the end of this, and that you will send the right people to go down there to help and to be with them. God, whatever that they need, whether it's shelter or food or clothing or maybe just even their pets saved, Father, I pray that you will just allow that to all happen. I pray your peace over this storm, and I pray that even though that there's craziness going on in the world around us, God, that we will still continue to come together and be one under you. And Father, I thank you for all the work that you've already done for the people that you've already sent. And I pray that we will continue to come together as one, and just be able to remember that there are things in people's lives, maybe big or small, that we may or may not see, but you are still powerful, and you still sit on the throne, and you still take care of those things, God. And I just thank you so much for your peace and for your grace and all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard bits and pieces here and there, and my understanding is there's been more rain in 4 or 5 days than usually they have in over a year. Is that right? I think at this point. God have mercy on that whole deal. Well, I want to introduce our speaker this morning. You've heard him a little bit just a few weeks ago, and most of us know Chuck. I want to introduce Chuck by continuing with our character quality theme. And Liz, I was asking Liz this morning, and she looked up another little definition that I loved, even on top of what I, you know, some things I could gather, even on top of what I had known of this word. But let me first read our little character quality definition here. Enthusiasm. This says versus apathy. Chuck, I would never paint you with that picture of apathy. Furthest thing from that. It means the definition here is expressing joy in each task as I give it my best effort. So let's get our heads around that a second. Expressing joy in each task as I give it my best effort. So those of you who know Chuck, would you say that? Is that descriptive? So, well, what I want to do here is for a second think, why? Why would Chuck express joy in the task that he's, you know, in the task that he undertakes, and give it his best effort? And I think the answer is the deeper, you know, the meaning of the word and the root of the word. And this word has the thing that Liz sent me this morning. It has Greek origin, or something very similar, Middle French, and then I think 16th century is where the actual that is directly comes from, Latin. And in the first part of it means into, and then thous, you know, that part is from theos, which is God. So it's into God. Colossians 1:27 says, you know, it talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. I believe that's the reason why Chuck would express joy in each task that he's given and give it his best effort. You know the verse about our work being as unto the Lord. In these definitions that we're tracing back to its origin, it would say divinely inspired. I thought, well, yeah, fits. And it says inspired or possessed by a God. So it's not a God, it's the God. And I would say, yes, that's descriptive here. So there's a verse that speaks of iron sharpening iron. And that's my prayer for this morning, is that I know many of us know Jesus on various levels. We've walked with him for different amounts of time and different amounts of enthusiasm in our walk, where we've been into God more or less. Some of us may have just met God and said, hey, I don't want to go to hell. I want to receive this salvation that guy was talking about, you know. And others, it may be that we've walked for many years with God, and enthusiastically so, where we weren't consumed by whatever else. We were consumed by God. That was first. And one other thing, I think I've shared this before here, but I don't know if I've shared it with you guys, but the word priority, until the turn of the, until I think the early 1900s, there was only one, it only had singular form. There was no such thing as priorities, because the priority was God, and he stood alone, and that was it. There was no other. So anyway, I think all that's very descriptive of Chuck. Chuck, so grateful for your influence here. And if you come on up, I just want to pray for us this morning and pray that God would work in our hearts through this time. Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for Chuck, my brother, and my brother in you. And I'm so grateful for the degree to which he is into you, possessed by you, divinely inspired by you. Lord, I'm grateful for the joy that we see on the outside, and for the joy that is there, that resides, it's the fruit of your spirit on the inside. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would all be divinely inspired by your words through Chuck this morning, and that we would be further, wherever we are in our walk with you, that we would be further into you as a result of the time this morning. I pray for some there'd just be amazing revelation of lordship, of what it is to be consumed by you and to be in you and you in us. Lord, speak to us this morning. Pray your blessing on Chuck. We pray for, just join Chuck right now and continue to ask and keep on asking for Jody's health. And we just pray you'd grant that. You're all capable, we know. So speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, buddy.
Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. Is Colton here today?
A little chilly.
Colton?
Yes, sir.
Where is Colton at today? Is he here today? He may not be here this morning, maybe working. All right, Coach, where's Coach at? One of the coaches at. Coach, who's one of your fastest runners?
Shoot, I'll get at the end.
Pick one.
I'll get at the end.
Let's pick that guy since he's so...
He's got a fast hand anyway. Huh?
Zach, come on up here. Where you at? Zach Benson. I think you ought to always know who's speaking in front of you. My name is Chuck Sackman. Most people call me Pastor Chuck. I've been a pastor for a little over 20 years. I was born again, saved, bought by the blood, August 10th of 1995. I was led to the Lord by my 9-year-old daughter. She came home and shared the blessed gospel with me from Vacation Bible School. I was a business owner of 16 restaurants and 4 hotels at the time, and God saved me. He didn't save me so I sit there and do nothing, but He saved me so that I could win. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Are you in it to win it? Zach, you're fast. You've been told on. So you can see my beautiful physique, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. And you can see my age. I'm 55. Yeah, yesterday was my birthday. Still young. Okay, thanks, Zach. This guy's good. Coach, you did good. I'm going to race you here in a little bit. I'm going to give you all the closing. My closing today will be a race between me and this guy. Now, how many think Zach can beat me? Zach, you think you can beat me? You know you can? Okay, go sit down. We'll get you later. Hey, man. You know, I've met lots of people who profess the name of Jesus. I've been to many countries. I've preached to tens of thousands in Africa. I've preached to well over that a number in India. I've preached in Peru in the native jungles where people had never heard the name of Jesus. I've preached all over. I've seen people profess Jesus my whole life. I've seen thousands come to know the Lord. But one of the things I kept struggling with, when I see a problem, I instantly go into the mode of, what's wrong with this pitcher? You know, if a coach, for example, sees you all playing and he knows your heart's not in it, his instant response is to figure out what's causing that problem so he can fix that, so you can be everything you were intended to be in the sport or whatever you're doing. And so today I want to deal with that issue. So I'm going to ask the question, are you in it to win it, or are you just in it? See, what I've found over the years of pastoring, and I've pastored a long time now, and is that a lot of people might be in it, but they're not in it to win it. They're in it for a lot of different reasons, and that's why they never have the victory they so desire. They're constantly being defeated. Now, one of the things you have to be sure of before you can be in it to win it is you got to make sure you're in it. I think a lot of people have prayed a prayer. I think a lot of people have been baptized. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? The Bible says, according to Jesus himself, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to be born new. August 10th of 1995, August 9th of 1995, I ran my business as a heathen, as a lost man. I was in it for one purpose and one purpose alone, to make money and to be a millionaire by the time I was 35, which I was close already. But when God saved me on August 10th of 1995, my whole life changed. I didn't even know what had happened. I just know that all of a sudden, here's a guy that was lost the day before. Today, I prayed to receive Jesus into my life, and he was Lord. And I couldn't get away with anything. Anything I tried to get away with, he would take me and direct me and take me and direct me and take me and direct me. And so I found out as I studied and studied what had happened to me is I became a new creature. I was given a new heart. I was no longer the old Chuck. I was the new Chuck. And it is in Christ is who I found my personality. It is in Christ who found my strength. It was in Christ who I found my hope. It was no longer in me or the things that I could accomplish. It was what he did on Calvary for me that drives me to do the things for him. So that happened 22 years ago. And you're seeing a guy 22 years later, listen to me, I haven't gotten over it. I'm probably more zealous now than I've ever been because I believe with all my heart God wants to bring revival. The problem staying in his way is his people. See, there, I think several are in it, but they're not in it to win it. They're more concerned about other things. And some of you are there today, if you're going to be dead honest. I'm not much of a faker or a liar. Everything you see about me is real. I have a wife of almost 30 years. She's my hot chick. She's my babe. She's everything to me. I'm never with a woman alone other than my wife for one purpose alone. Listen to me, because I have flesh on my body, and I don't ever want to mess up that deal that God gave me, that special gift he gave me called Miss Jody. Why? Because the Bible says you're supposed to be above reproach. Not because I'm smart enough to figure it out on my own. The Bible teaches all that stuff. Well, this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, here's what the Bible kind of says. I'm going to paraphrase. It's not where I'm going to be preaching from or speaking from. But in there it says, hey, man, I got into the race, but run as if to win. So it didn't just say run the race. In fact, later he goes on and says, I buffet my body, or I beat my body, I discipline my body into subjection, that I can run this race thoroughly. And right before all this, if you look at the passages before 1 Corinthians 9:24, he talks about, listen, I'm in this for the gospel. I'm not in it for any other reason. I'm here to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again. And if you'll apply that or have it applied to your life by God, listen to me, you can win this race. And that's what the whole context of that passage is. But you got to ask yourself, when I see something like that, I've got to say, well, how? How do you run as if to win? I mean, you know, we want to do something exciting in our lives. You guys are young. You got a lot of, listen, I wish I'd have got saved at your age. Good news is, spiritually, I'm 22 years old, so that's how come I know I can outrun Zach. I'm 22 years old spiritually, man. I'm about the same age as him, so I got speed. Amen? Now, y'all don't believe I can beat him, but I'm going to show you how the principle of Scripture works in your life if you apply it, not just sit there and say, oh, I read my Bible today. But you take it and you read it to apply it. So if you'd open, if you have your Bible with you, if you don't, it's okay. I'm going to read it to you anyway. In a passage in Hebrews is another passage about running. And I do give a disclaimer every time I preach. I have my phone on my hip, and the only time it will go off is if my granddaughter gets to a certain level in her blood sugar, because she could die, and I'm one of her backups to make sure that she gets her insulin when she needs it the moment before she dies. And so sometimes it has went off when I'm preaching, so if it goes off today, I'll hand it to Hoover. He'll take care of it, and we'll all be good. Amen? So I don't want you to think that I keep my cell phone on. I don't. It won't ring, but it will go off on an alarm if something happens. So it's happened a few times. But Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn there, and I'd like you to stand with me for one purpose only, that we respect God enough to say your word is important to us. And so chapter 11, so you all know, is what's called the chapter of faith. He talks about all these great men and women of faith and all the things they did and didn't do and all the things that happened to them. And they did it without even ever receiving the promise of the Messiah. That's what chapter 11 is all about in a quick paraphrase. It's a lot deeper than that, but that's all you get because Noren gave me a time frame. Amen? But in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such a hostility by sinners against himself, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Lord, take your word, save the lost. Encourage the saved, particularly those who are in the race, but they're not in it to win it yet. Help this be a life-changing day for them, not because of me, but because of your precious book. I love you and I thank you. I give you glory. And Lord, use me, have you used me many times, to strengthen your bride for the work ahead. In Jesus' name. And Lord, would you bring revival right now? I'm not talking about next week. I'm talking about this morning. If you so choose to extend this time, lay it on the leaders' hearts to do what's right in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So are you in it to win it, or are you just in it? You know, in that first passage, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, the encumbrance word can be used as a distraction, like lay aside those distractions in your life. Well, what are distractions? Well, do you believe it or not, you all know, as I've spoke of my wife, she's my best friend, she's everything to me. Listen to me. Sometimes she can be a distraction to what God has told me to do. In fact, I will tell you something that distracted me, and I didn't know about till this morning in my quiet time, but sometimes people can be your distraction. The friends you hang around with, the people you listen to, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, if you're married, a spouse can be that. Children can do that. Siblings can do that. Listen, your job can do that. Your school can do that. It can become a distraction. There's lots of things that encumbrance us, that bother us, that weigh on us. And that's what he's talking about in that particular word. He's talking about every one of us need to lay aside anything, listen to me, anything that distracts us from running this race. But what we tend to do is we pick up distractions and say, oh, I'm sure the Lord gave me that, without ever speaking to him, by the way. So that's one thing. And the second thing, if you notice in the tense that it's written in the next word, it says, and the sin that so easily entangles you. You see, every one of us deal with the sin. Now, I'm not very smart, but there are a lot of young people here. And sometimes that sin can be lust. It's the sin. I don't play with words, you know. I just really believe you ought to just say what's in there. And that's a sin young people deal with really bad. Some people deal with envy. Some people deal with pride and arrogance. But it's the sin, you know, that you find yourself constantly wishing you didn't have, but you keep on bringing it. It keeps on haunting you. It keeps on coming back. Well, we're supposed to throw that off. See, if we're going to be in it to win it, we've got to learn to take these distractions and set them to the side. We've got to learn to take this sin, name yours. I call it out by name, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. So, the sin, whatever your sin is that you deal with so prevalently in your life, and we're to lay it aside. And then it says we can run that race with endurance that's set before us. So, you're either in it or you're in it to win it. So, I think a lot of people are in it. I really do. I believe there's more saved people than probably that I know of. But I can't tell they're in it really, because they're not in it to win it, because they're so distracted by the things of this world that they are not focused on the Lord Jesus. And so because of that, I'm asking you this question. If you're a believer, if you know you're born again, if you know you're saved, you know that if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven, because there's a day in your life where you remember God through the power of the Holy Spirit came into your life and changed you forever. If you know that and you're in it, my question to you is, are you in it to win it? Or are you just in it? I could still be running all the businesses I ever have. I had a chance to be on campus here with you all, but God told me no. I wanted to be. That's why he gave you Hoover. But are you in it to win it? The second thing that I want to show you in this passage is, you're not in it alone. I want you, if you have a Bible with you, look at how many times he uses the word us and we. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross. It's us. You're not in it alone. Sometimes we feel like, particularly those of us who are trying to run really fast, we feel like we're in it alone, but the truth of the scripture is we're never in it alone. God always has somebody for you, right there beside you. I've raised up a lot of preachers, let me tell you. 72 I've had in my lifetime, about 16 have made it. I always remind them, you're not alone. There's somebody there with you in the same battle you're going through right now, somewhere in this world. And we got to remember that when you're in this race and you're starting to feel down, you got to remember you're not by yourself. The number one problem I see with most people, particularly men who I deal with, is they isolate themselves. The Bible says a man who isolates himself, Proverbs says this, a man who isolates himself will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. See, what they'll do is they'll tend to go inward instead of go out to a brother and say, brother, I've got a problem. I'm dealing with pornography, and so I need you to keep me accountable because I love the Lord and I don't want to do it anymore. And that's the true way a Christian should handle it. But what we tend to do is revert, and we get inside of ourselves, because I dealt with pornography 3 years after I got saved, for 3 years until I finally conquered it by opening it up to a brother and say, I need accountability because I don't want this in my life. But I dealt with it openly, because the Bible says confess your sins one to another. And then there's a healing that takes place. See, I'm not in it by myself. I don't have to run. I was going through a real hard time at church. I had... none of you have probably ever pastored a church, but sometimes it can be a little bit daunting. People don't act Christian in a church. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Well, I happened to be the pastor, so I got to see it all, and it was pretty ugly at one point. And I called Brother Hoover and said, man, I am really considering quitting this pastoring thing. And this was just a couple years ago. I went through a real trial of some false doctrine that had come into the church. And I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for knowing that I had a Hoover in my life to encourage me, maybe I'd have quit. You're not in it alone. So if you're in it to win it this morning, I want to remind you, you're not alone. The third thing I want to remind you in, you're in it to the end. Look what he says on this. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, verse 2, a perfecter of our faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility against himself, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, you're not allowed to quit. If you're saved, you're going to be in it till the day you go see him. I'm telling you, you're in it to the end. So you might as well try to win. And you might as well run as if to win. I mean, can you imagine going out, the baseball coach, the basketball coach, ladies, men, softball, whatever you're in, shooting, whatever you're in this particular school, and you go out there and say, we're in this to lose, man. See, I know y'all see old Zach over there, and he's young and slender and he's fast, and you think he can beat me. But I'm in this to win it. This isn't, to me, we're going to race to Dennis back there, and we're going to touch his hand and come back. And whoever gets here first is the winner. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to win because I'm in this to win it. I'm in it to win it. I am, because I'm in it to the end. I'm not quitting after year 22. I've been saved 22 years. August 10th was 22. I'm in this to win it. Why? What else would I be in it? Why not go back in the world, make as much money as I can, buy all the toys I used to have, do all that all over again, and just build my wealth back up? Why not do that? I mean, that's what the world says is good. You know what I found there? Emptiness, loneliness, and there's nothing there once you get there. And by the way, there's never enough. You can have $1 million like I did in the bank and still not have enough. It's not enough. I'm telling you, I've been there. I'll tell you what, I wake up every morning, I've had plenty. I spend my time with him. He starts to convict me of things in my life I ought not have. Because I'm in it to win it, and I'm in it to the very end. See, you're young, but if you get it now, man, your life will be so much more full. But make sure you're in it. And if you're in it, make sure you're in it to win. And the last thing I want to share with you is you're in it for his glory, because it says, consider him who endured the cross. See, everything I do because he did for me. He died for me that I might live. So I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I've been set free and I want to. It's a heart issue. I see I'm a new creation. I have a desire now to do whatever he tells me to do, whether I go speak here at Ecclesia this morning, listen to me, or whether I go be to Haiti the other 57 times I've been there. I'm about to take my 58th trip there. Wherever I'm going is for him. Doesn't matter what I want. Listen, doesn't matter that I used to run all these businesses, and several since then, by the way. It doesn't. None of that really matters unless it's in it for him. Because it's all about him. And I'm glad. I made it about me for so long. It was so selfish that I hurt people along the way when I was a lost man. I probably destroyed a few lives, I'm sure. But man, since I've been saved, and you make it all about him, what I found is when you make it all about him, he makes it about you. It's weird how he works. First to be last to be first, greatest to be least to be greatest. It's backwards thinking from the American culture. But I want to tell you, it's still truth. Amen? Now, I believe in getting up and spending time with God every day. I usually get up about 4:30 to 5, and I'm not a morning person that early, but God started waking me up about 20 years ago to do that. And I don't think I've missed a day with him, even when I've been somewhat ill sometimes. I think I got up and I had my time with him somewhat. Now, some of it was a little bit more sketchy than others. That means I got a verse in and, you know, did my little prayer until he convicted me about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then he made me sit down and do some more time with him. But I get up, and I got up this morning, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to go preach this morning, and I'd sure like you to make sure everything inside of me is right. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. There's that thing you've been putting in front of me right now. I said, what's that, Lord? Quietly in my heart, there's no audible voice for me, but he said, you know, that house sale you've got that on your heart constantly. And he said, I said I'd take care of all that stuff for you if you just leave it at my cross and leave it for me. I'll take care of the perfect timing to sell your house. I'll take care of the contract you're under. I'll take care of all that stuff. Now lay it down and quit letting that distract you. That was this morning. That's a true statement, by the way. That's what happened to me this morning. And so he dealt with me. So you know what I did? I just laid the house at the side and I put it at the cross. And I said, Lord, it's yours. I'm done with it today. Thank you for reminding me that I can let things easily distract me. So I'm free. Amen. That's how come I know I can win this race. I got up this morning and I got released everything that was bothering me. So I'm 25 pounds lighter. Amen. You all want to know how to lose weight? Get with Jesus. Amen. Now, Zach, come on up here. Now, I'm going to tell on Zach a little bit. Now, I don't know if it's all true or not, so we'll have to just kind of imagine it's true. Amen. Now, Zach got up this morning, too. But he didn't spend time with the Lord today. He's carrying all kinds of weights and sins that so easily entangle him. And so the sin that so easily entangles him looks a lot like Hoover. And so Hoover's going to be the sin in his life. Okay? He's going to get on his back, but not really. He's just going to hold on to him because that's his sin that he's been carrying around. He ain't released it yet. And then I'm going to get Chad and Orin up here, and they're going to be the distractions. Come on up here. And the distractions are going to stand right next to each other here and block Zach from doing anything important in his life. Now, Zach, we're going to... No, over here, because you're not blocking me. I have my quiet time. You ain't blocking me, bro. I ain't got no distractions right now. All right, Zach. Now, we'll kind of do this like a regular professional. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, and then our goal is to go touch Dennis, come back here, touch the... Whoever gets here first wins this race. Now, I want to remind you this morning, I had my time with the Lord. I threw off the distraction, the one I shared with you. I shared... That was a personal distraction I shared with you this morning. And I'm free. I'm free to be a witness for him at the restaurants I go to today, at this college this morning, when I talk to Orin, when I talk to anybody on the phone. Yesterday when I was at the restaurant, witnessing to both my waitress in the daytime and my waiter at night, where two friends were kind enough to bring me to dinner, and we witnessed to them and shared the blessed gospel with them. We were kind to them, loving to them, and told them that Jesus is the only way. And unless you're born again, you can't go. Because we were free yesterday, because we did the exact same thing I did this morning. So this morning, I'm going to race. On your mark. Should have got up earlier. Get set. Go! Oh, yeah. Come on, Zach! Oh! Yeah, let's go. Come on, Zach! Oh, no, stay there. Stay on him. Stay on him, Sam. Now. Listen, Zach could easily beat me if he just would have did what I told him just to do. If he would have turned to Hoover and said, sin, get away from me.
Go ahead and say, sin, get away from me.
Distractions, I'm done with you.
Distractions, I'm done with you.
Now who would win? Zach would. What I taught you was real life spiritual truth. Zach, sorry to put you in that position, but I knew I'd win. It's kind of rigged. So, thanks, brother.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Amen. Give him a hand. The truth is Zach is no different than Pastor Chuck. I'm no more spiritual than him or anything else. We have the same Jesus to be saved. And the only difference was I got up this morning and made sure that all those distractions that he showed me, I laid aside and said, I don't want to carry those. I want to be a witness for you. I want to be good for the college kids this morning. I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to be a strengthening force for you. I want to lead some of you to Jesus. I want you to know that it's not about a prayer. It's not about a baptism. It's about being born new. And once you're in this race, listen, there's only one way to be in a race. And you all that do sports, and a lot of you do sports, you need to be in it to win it. Playing this game called religion and church. Listen to me, I'm all about the church. I love the church. Jesus loves the church. But I'm not in church to be like this fake church. I'm in church to make a difference for the world. And so I'm asking you today, first off, are you in it? Secondly, are you really in it to win it, or is it kind of a game to you? You keep holding on to distractions and the sin that so easily entangles you, Let me just tell you this. You're not going to run the race. You're going to look like Zach. You're going to always be carrying burdens you ought not be carrying. God gave you the power to throw those things off. All you got to do is turn to him and say, I'm done with you. Get away from me, distractions. I'm laying you at the cross, and I'm going to run the race that God has for me today, right now. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. I don't want anybody looking around except me for just a second. Now, my challenge is clear to the believer. It's, are you in it to win it? And you have to answer that individually. Pastor Chuck cannot do that for you. I have to answer it for me. You have to answer that for you. I am in it to win it. I'm not perfect. I'm a mess up. That's why I got to go in there every day and deal with things that are distracting me and things that the sin that so easily entangles me. So if you're here today and you're in it, you ought to praise the Lord he lets you in. My question to you, if you're in it, is, are you really in it to win it or just in it? Is this just, you're going to school just to go to school because I got a baseball thing or whatever you're dealing with, softball thing or just school thing? Are you really in this to make a difference, to win the race that is set before you? See, even in the middle of that we and us, there was the race that's set before you. There's a race set for each one of you. If you're in it, you're saved, you're born again, you know you are. May you finally surrender to his lordship and allow him to remove the distractions in your life and the sin that so easily entangles you. But my deeper question today, and really what God had really burdened me after talking to Orrin last night for just a few moments on text, is I wonder if you've ever gotten in the race. Have you ever been really born again? Or are you just religious? Or you just prayed a prayer, or your mom and dad raised you that way, so you're good? It's an individual decision every person must make when the Holy Spirit confronts their heart. He confronts you, the Bible says in Matthew, by bringing judgment and sin. He brings it up to you and he says, I got a way out. Righteousness of Christ. Trust in Jesus. Put your faith and confidence only in Christ alone, what he did on Calvary. Will you pray a prayer? Yes. Will you follow in baptism? Absolutely. But that's not what saves you. It's the day Jesus comes and lives in you in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're a new creature. The Bible says old things pass away, all things become new. Miss Jody's married two different men, the one that was lost, and then when I got saved, she had a new man. And she's thankful. So you're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, and you know you've never been born again. Listen to me. I would be a fool as a gospel preacher not to offer you the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus today. So here's what I would ask you to do, and this takes some boldness on your part. If you really want to be saved, born again, you really want to surrender your life to Jesus, you know that you've never really been saved, you know you got religion, you know you're, but you know you're not saved. God has revealed that to you this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what the Bible says he does. And you want to be saved, it's this simple. Lord, you're showing me I'm lost, and I want to be saved. That's really it. You can do that right where you're sitting right now. So if you really want to be saved, here's what I want you to do. Lord, I really want to be saved. I really want to be born new. Now, if you did that, and you really meant it, the Bible says you'll confess your faith to others publicly. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's the difficult part. I'm going to stand right here. And I want you to stand up from where you're at, come forward, grab my hand, say, Pastor Chuck, I just prayed that to God and I'm saved. I'm saved right now. And I promise you, the people who are saved will celebrate with you. If God dealt with your heart and you just got saved, listen to me, don't worry about what your friend thinks. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Worry about what God has spoke to you about this morning. And I want you to stand up right now. Come up, grab my hand. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who's in heaven. Public profession. I'm saved, and I'm thankful. Anybody want to come up right now? It's quiet. No music to challenges, come up, grab my hand, say, I want to be saved right now. There's one. Who'll be next? There's two. You want to be saved? You want to be saved? You want to be saved? Amen. Ma'am, do you want to be saved? You want to be saved? Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Two more. I mean, gloriously saved, new heart, new creature, new life. That's what he promises. Anybody else? Is God waiting on you? I'm not in a hurry. If Orange in a hurry, I know he's not, because he's not no fool. He knows when the Lord's working. His daddy taught him well. Anybody else? All right, you leadership in this school, look at me. You see all these folks? I've already got Alejandro. Me and him are talking every day. But see all these other folks? I don't know where they'll be at, but you need to get them today, not tomorrow. Probably right after this service. And some of you need to meet with them and make sure they understand that this new creation is something God does in their life. And they're on for a journey that's going to be hard but wonderful. Amen? How many are thankful they got saved?
Amen.
Woo! All right, amen. I'm going to hug them all. Pastor Chuck's in it to win it. I am not, this is not a show to me. It's not a game to me. I'm not really interested whether people like me or not. I'm not real, you know, Baptists hate me even though I'm a Baptist because I'm so charismatic in my thoughts. What I mean is, I just believe you ought to be excited about Jesus.
Amen.
But he changes you. Right. If you got saved and there's no change, you're not saved. How can the God of the universe come and live in people and them not start to make a difference for his kingdom? That's what the Bible says happens. I don't care what man says. That's what this says. And I'm sticking with this. Orin?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'd say praise God. And the last thing I would want to do is not follow through. And I'm sure the same with all of you. And I think maybe just to not let anybody fall through the cracks, what I would ask is that each one of you that came up, please get with your mentor. And if your mentor is not here, you know, get with somebody else right away and certainly follow up with your mentor and tell them exactly, you know, what happened this morning in your life and say, yeah, I want to grow. You know, that's the next step. It's not, there's a phrase I've heard before. It's God loves us too much, or God loves us so much he'll reach us where we are, but he also loves us so much he won't leave us where we are. You know, so we want to grow in him. Grow up in him in all aspects. So I'm just going to end early so we can, everybody else is dismissed. And if you prayed this morning, get with your mentor or somebody else here.
Amen.
Let's do that. So thank you. Oh, one announcement before we leave. There's two dumpsters at the dining hall. The large one is for trash. The small one is for recyclables, right? That's the, and I guess that's, if you separate them, have them bagged, I think you can, whether, you know, plastic or cardboard, whatever, so separate them. But otherwise, you know, please don't throw trash in the